Well, thank you, Mr. Nitzberg, and good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you all online with us. It's a beautiful day here in Milford, Ohio, celebrating the first holy day of the year, this first day of unleavened bread. So it's an exciting time in our family, and hopefully it is for all of you. You know, this past week, while I was preparing, I spent some time moving furniture back and forth around the house in preparation for these days of unleavened bread. I was able to reacquaint myself with my old friend, the vacuum cleaner. There's a certain thrill in taking all of the cushions out of the sofa, finding the crevice attachment and hooking that up to the vacuum so that I can probe those deepest and darkest recesses of our furniture and the baseboards. I kind of enjoy it. This is really the only time of the year, I must admit, that I get involved with the vacuum cleaner. You know, most of the time it's my wife or one of my sons who get to enjoy that experience. But when I hold that vacuum hose in my hand, and when I can watch those little particles leaping into the air to be devoured by this hungry appliance, it's quite satisfying. You know, it brings to mind a photo that I ran across on the internet that showed a vacuum cleaner extension pointed toward the frightened cat who was perched atop of a couch. The cat was up on its back legs with its teeth bared and one paw extended as though it was going to bat at that vacuum hose. And the caption for that photo said, "Nature abhors a vacuum, but not as much as cats do." So made me think of that picture. You know, this quote, "Nature abhors a vacuum," it's attributed to Aristotle, and it's appeared in many works over the centuries. You've doubtless heard it. Now, Aristotle wasn't referring to a vacuum cleaner, per se, when he made that comment, but to the fact that an empty space is quickly filled. You know, I have a desk at home that definitely adheres to this principle. No matter how hard I work to clean off that desk, and then when I try to keep it clean, it might only stay clean for maybe a day or two. Before I know it, there's some other pile of junk that has just miraculously appeared on that desk and moved in to make my desk messy again. Do I even get ahead by trying to clean it off at all? You know, sometimes I have to wonder. So in this sermonette today, I want you to think about the days of unleavened bread and how they also create a vacuum. Leading up to the festival, we spent a lot of time sweeping and sucking up physical pieces of bread, crumbs of leavening that needed to be removed from our homes. So also we remembered the spiritual lesson and worked with renewed strength to remove sin from our lives before the Passover. These are good things to do, don't get me wrong. But is that all that these days are about? Removing something from our lives. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. So I'd like to read a parable that Jesus Christ gave to the multitudes. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Here's what Jesus Christ said. He said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, 'I'll return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation." So this man that Jesus described had an unclean spirit living within him. The spirit was removed, and after that spirit was gone, the man was able to put his life back in order. How wonderful! Jesus says that his life was swept, it was put in order. Now, apparently this took some effort for the man to do. You know, sweeping and putting something in order implies that there was some work that had to be done. His life wasn't just empty, it was swept, it was put in order. Now, I would assume that this man had swept out all traces of that unclean spirit. He had put in order all the parts of his life that had maybe fallen apart. Things were looking really good for him. Now, over the past week, my house was swept clean. Things were put in order. I removed the leaven from my home. I also sought God's help to remove the sin from my life. But is there something more? As you can see, the parable didn't stop there. You might have noticed that not only was the man's life swept and put in order, but Jesus states that it was empty. It was empty. It had been cleaned out. This parable, then, is about a vacuum. You know, it demonstrates the theory that nature abhors a vacuum. So what happened? The house was so empty and inviting that the unclean spirit returns. But this time, he brings his friends. There was an empty space that had not yet been filled. When the unclean spirit went out from the man, it wasn't destroyed. It was only banished. We can repulse, we can drive away evil from our lives, but we can't destroy. You know, evil always looks to make a counterattack at any opportunity to regain that ground that it's lost. We can keep evil at bay, but we can't eliminate evil. God can forgive our sins for us. We can put sin out of our lives. But the question becomes, how long will it stay removed? We can banish sin. We can put sin at bay. We can purify ourselves so that our lives are empty of sin, swept and put in order. But then what? Well, it comes down to maintenance. How do we maintain that state of order and keep sin from a counterattack that would make our last state worse than our first? The key is not to keep an empty house. Don't keep an empty house. We need to fill up our house, so that when sin does want to return, when it pulls up outside of our door to see whether there is any room available, sin will see a big no vacancy sign lit and shining in the window. The idea that I want you to take away from this message is that it's not enough to just put sin out of our lives. We also have to put something into our lives, filling that space where the sin used to be, so that sin will not just come back. When we put out leaven from our homes for the days of unleavened bread, we push that leaven out and we hold it at bay for 7 days. But after those days are over, those leavened products, those delicious pastries, those breads, the pizzas, the cookies, they all come back into our diets. Sin will do the same thing if we do not fill the void that's left after the sin has been removed. We need to fill that void with something positive. So how do we fill the void? Our human nature is described as a sinful nature. It likes to sin. Sin makes us feel good because it fulfills the lust of the flesh. Sin can become part of our normal routines. Sin likes to work its way into our bad habits. Psychologists and therapists understand that this concept of filling the void when it comes to overcoming bad habits and bad behavior. They agree that if you can replace that bad behavior with a good behavior, you will eventually create a good habit where there was only a bad one before. This is the psychological version of out with the bad air, in with the good. And for a simple example, think of a program designed to help people to stop smoking. Now, most of these programs don't simply instruct people, stop smoking. You know, it's more than that. For most people who have been smokers, quitting that habit creates a big void in their lives. Most programs recommend that someone who had been a smoker needs to adopt a different, more positive behavior that they can pursue when that urge comes to them to smoke that tobacco. For instance, it might involve developing a new habit of chewing gum or doing a different type of activity so that there's something to fill the time and to answer the urge that the bad habit can be pushed out. When we want to rid ourselves of a negative habit, we need to develop a positive habit that will drive out that desire for the negative. Think about those sins that you've repented of and which you have put out of your life. How did you fill that space in your life once that sin was removed? Did you take on other activities? Did you take on other positive habits? Well, if you haven't, then you might want to consider whether your life might be a clean and orderly house just waiting for sin to knock at the door. Our old habits and sins still lurk in our brain, and they would love to make a comeback. When we try to think about a positive habit to put into our lives to replace the time and the energy that was formerly put towards sin, we need to be realistic. For instance, if you tried to replace maybe it was a bad habit of eating ice cream before you go to bed, if you replace that with taking cod liver oil before you went to bed, you're probably not going to be successful in the long run, because we need to make sure that our new positive behaviors aren't too unpleasant for us. Now, your habits, whether they're good or bad, create neural pathways in your brain. And the more that you follow one of these paths, the easier and easier it becomes, so that the path becomes a well-worn trail. Your brain wants to follow these paths because they're already laid out. That's why habits can be so hard to break. Now, these old pathways can't just be erased. Instead, we have to work to create new pathways that bypass those old ways. And eventually, through use, those new pathways will be the clear path of least resistance for our brains, and those old paths will fall into disuse. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 7. Let's turn to Exodus 13, beginning in verse 7. When God gave the days of unleavened bread to the nation of Israel, he didn't tell them only to put the leaven out. Let's look at the second sentence of Exodus 13, verse 7. Exodus 13, starting with the second sentence, it says, "And no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters." So we're putting that leaven out. But if you go back to verse 6, Moses said, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And then the first part of verse 7 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. We have been instructed not just to remove leavened bread, but we are also to eat, we're to partake of that unleavened bread throughout this festival. We are to fill that void. We are to fill that vacuum that gets produced when the leavened bread is removed by filling it with unleavened bread. God makes it clear in several scriptures that during these days, we are to eat. We are to eat. We are to put on this new habit. So this year, let's not only focus on the removal of sin from our lives, but let's also focus on the necessity of adding something to our lives to fill that void that's created when sin is removed. Make sure that your focus this festival season is not just on removing sin, but also equally, or more importantly, focus on what you replace that sin with. It is certainly good to sweep your house and to put it in order, but by all means, don't leave your home empty. A vacuum will inevitably be filled with something. Now, whatever habits or behaviors that you are working on overcoming in your life, spend some time and ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to develop some positive habits and positive behaviors that will be able to fill the void that is created when sin is removed.